Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
And good evening, friends. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America. And tonight, we are blessed to have a special guest. I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. We're going to talk about Jesus and politics. And that's the name of her book that we're going to invite you to purchase. Brothers and sisters, we are obviously involved in the most important and significant battle for saving our nation that we have ever faced. And we do so together, as we always do on this program, in the light of the Word of God. I want to go to the Psalms here to get us started with Psalm 124. I invite you to pray it with me in your mind and heart, and then we will ask the Lord's blessing. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us a prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us pray. Father, we are surrounded by many enemies in our nation at this time, enemies of faith, enemies of family, enemies of life, enemies of America, of our rights to free speech and free assembly and freedom of the press, a weaponized government, and Lord, these enemies want to take even more control as a result of these elections. We ask for the same protection today for us and for America as you have shown to your people throughout salvation history. Lord God, be with us and grant that we may be with you, may welcome you, may turn to you, may rely on you just as our founders did, and may be as active as we can with all our strength in the efforts to be undertaken for this election. Lord God, awaken your church in particular, awaken those people of faith who know you, who strive to follow you. Awaken them, Lord God, that although politics is not our salvation, to be politically active is part of responding to you. Enable us to understand how we can do more, how could we can be more in the political realm for the kingdom of God. We ask all of this in the name of the author of life, conqueror of death, and the only savior of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, you might know of Bunny Pounds of Christians Engage. We're going to bring her on right now and tell a little bit about her background. Bunny, welcome to the program. We are excited about having you on and talking about your book. But you have served in politics and in church-related matters. You have been someone who you've worked for a member of Congress, and then you started your own political consulting firm, and you have also led various initiatives in the faith community. And now you have combined your skills in fostering discipleship with your political insights with this effort called Christians Engaged, and have come out with a book called Jesus and Politics. We want to talk about all of that here today with an audience that I know is going to be very both interested and inspired in what you have to say. So welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Father Frank. Really appreciate you having me on. You are a hero for so many as we engage to save the unborn and to activate Christians around the nation. So thank you, first of all, for your faithfulness to this country and your faithfulness to faith and biblical values, brother.
I appreciate that. Yes. And we've had a lot of fun. You know, we've seen each other at different conferences along the way. We travel in a lot of the same circles. And isn't it inspiring to see how many others there are? Patriots, disciples, who are just on the same page with us, as many of our viewers right now are. And we want to give them that little added dose of encouragement and a few extra tools to carry out this commitment.
And we're happy warriors. That's a really important thing. You can have joy in the journey, folks. Yes, I worked for a member of Congress, Jeb Hensarling, for 10 mm-hmm. years, and then started my own firm. And really, as a homeschooling mom, got involved 20 years ago over the life issue, really started realizing that God was calling me as a missionary to America and that I had a voice, even as a young mom, to make a difference, and never imagined that I would get to walk with so many men and women of God that are serving in government. You know, the call of God is on our life, whether we serve in a pulpit, we're a priest, or we're a pastor. But sometimes people are called into education, media, government. And it's been a blessing for me to see missionaries to America within our government space around the nation. So I launched Christians Engaged almost 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, to start finding the awakening church, whether we're Protestants or Catholics that are waking up right now and want to do something for America. We built a system where Christians can get voting reminders around every election in the nation when they take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage, and really let that civic engagement part of our life come under the lordship of Jesus to elect and to work in voting, praying and voting, and then engaging with our biblical values intact. So we've built lots of curriculum. But the book just came out in February. I'm so excited about it. It's my story of walking with members of Congress for the last 20 years and how we pray together, how we disciple each other. The Vice President, Mike Pence, many others, Senator Ted Cruz is in the book. It's fun to watch, and I'm just so thankful for them being a part of my story and letting me share their faith stories, because a lot of times people think politicians are just horrible people and this whole mudslinging profession, like who wants to get involved in it? But there are some really good people serving in these political spaces, and we need to have more Christians.
Well, what you're saying reminds me of Congressman Andy Harris. I've known him from a long time before he became a member of Congress. And I actually helped encourage him to run initially for State House. And the way that that happened was I was on one of my broadcasts talking about serving in public office as a vocation. People hear the word vocation, they know what it means. Well, God is calling you to do something, you know, but could God be calling you to enter politics, you know, as messy and dirty as it is and often corrupt? Well, the answer is yes, because it is. I often think of St. Paul writing to the Romans and calling those in political office ministers of God. So it's not only us who are clergy who are ministers of God. Those in public office are ministers of God. Why? Because they're serving the people and working to protect their rights. Now, I'm sure in your work and in the writing and the advocacy that you're doing now, you know, you come across some of the key reasons why Christians are not engaged. So Christians Engage, you're obviously pushing back as we are too, against these false ways of thinking that would justify not being engaged in the political realm, in voting, in politics. Tell us what some of those common errors are and how we can refute them.
Well, a lot of Christians don't vote, and you know the statistics as well as I do. There's really not much difference between those who call themselves born-again Christians, whether they're Catholic or Protestant, in their voting, and the general public. But a lot of people are afraid. They say, oh, well, I don't have enough information. I don't know all these people. I'm afraid to make a mistake. First of all, let me just say, you're probably going to make some mistake in your voting, but don't let that hinder you from doing your research. You know, turn off Netflix or Amazon Prime for 30 minutes, research your ballot, look at all their websites, look at who endorses them, look at their values that they say they believe. And you and I both know most of these politicians now tell you directly, I am for the sanctity of human life, or I'm not. I'm for religious liberty, or I'm not. I mean, they are very clear on what they believe now with all of social media and TV and all the things that are happening in the world. So looking at the party platforms, figuring out where we most align as believers between the major parties, all of that just takes a little bit of work. And so I highly encourage people, if we started voting, not just in presidential elections, but we started voting in primaries, local elections, constitutional amendment elections. If we started voting, Pastor Frank, in every election, we're in the like top 12%, 11% of Americans, and that's registered voters. So we can have a huge impact. One church can take a local election with the small amount of people that are voting in these school board and city elections. So that's extremely important. Secondly, a lot of people use this phrase, well, separation of church and state. But we forget that Thomas Jefferson was writing a letter to the Danbury Baptist, actually, you know, referring to the government coming into the church and affecting the church, not the other way around. Every pastor in America tells people in their church, go be Jesus in your boardroom, in your business. Love your employees. Bring the gospel to your workplace. Public educator, take Jesus to the schoolhouse, right? But we don't really encourage people, hey, what about taking Jesus to Capitol Hill? What about taking Jesus to our state house and our state senate? What if we ran for office? What if we served in city councils? What if we became Jesus in the hands and feet and salt and light that we're called to be? And the problem is when there's a vacuum, the righteous people are not running for office, righteous people are not getting involved, what happens? This vacuum happens, and the wicked, people that do not share a biblical worldview with us, start filling those places of influence. And I actually believe that we are not loving our neighbors. If we loved our neighbors, we would elect righteous leaders, because, man, we are protecting our neighbors from bad policy. We're protecting the unborn. We're protecting the least among us. If we actually promote freedom and vote in people that have a biblical worldview.
That's so important. It's so upside down, so the way so many people have it when they say, oh, well, I don't like this candidate. And I say to them, well, what does that have to do with it? You know, oh, this candidate, I'm not sure what they're going to do for me. But yeah, but when you elect your president, you're electing your children's president too. You're electing your neighbor's president. And I like how you bring that out. I've been bringing that out lately too. This is love of neighbors, love of God, because we're obeying God and using the gifts of freedom that he's given us. But it's love of neighbor because we're choosing their leaders too. And it's like, oh my goodness, there's so much of a short-sightedness. And you know, oh, I like this person, I don't like this person. That's not what we have to be thinking about in this process. I'm glad you mentioned it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not about who you want to have a Diet Coke with. It's when you're thinking about president, you're thinking about who's going to hire the entire executive branch and who's going to put in every federal judge and vacancies to the Supreme Court. That essence is what we're voting for. But even if a Christian goes, okay, I still can't pull the lever for president, I don't like either one of them, which, you know, I just made the case of why you should vote for president. Then they still forget that they've got members of Congress, state representatives, a lot of other people, county officials on the ballot. You still need to show up, right?
You know, some people talk about choosing the lesser of two evils. And I say, no, you're not choosing evil at all. If you have two candidates and every ballot is going to have all imperfect. One thing we can say for sure, 100% of the candidates who are running are imperfect. 100% of them, right? So it's like, I'm not choosing evil. I'm not endorsing any kind of evil. I am trying to limit evil. If I see candidate A, and I say, you know, there's 10 things wrong with this guy. And candidate B, oh, well, there's 20 things wrong with him. If I vote for A because as far as I can tell, less evil is going to happen, I'm not choosing that evil at all. I'm choosing to limit evil. And to choose to limit evil is a good. And I think this is where a lot of us who are Christians do get confused, because we are so concerned about principle and about, you know, not choosing evil. And, you know, I think this is one of the ways we have to help people.
It's so good. And in my book and in our classes, we teach Christians, we have an on-ramp to civic engagement for any believer that doesn't know anything. They want to learn about political parties, advocacies, issues from a biblical perspective. We teach all that. But there's these dichotomies, Father Frank, you know, that we've lived in for a long time. You know, how do we be bold and courageous as believers? How do we stand up for truth, but yet speak the truth in love and walk within the Sermon on the Mount? Loving our enemies, doing good to those who persecute us, being poor in spirit and, you know, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The reality is we can live within those balances. As Christ followers, it is difficult. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. You know, my testimony, and that's why I felt like I need to write the book, is I've been involved in this space actively, raised millions of dollars for members of Congress, walked with, you know, 14 members, walked with state representatives, state senators, county officials. Somehow I still love Jesus. Somehow he still has my heart. And somehow I'm still hungry for the word of God. And I just got back from Washington, D.C. and saw 10 or 12 of my friends that are serving up there. And I'm telling you, there's a hunger breaking out even in the members. They know, wow, we can't do anything. This is impossible. We need God. And they're meeting like never before in Bible studies and prayer meetings. Kathy McMorris Rogers, who's the energy chairwoman, she is on fire for God. She's prayer walking around the Capitol. Jody Arrington, our budget committee chair, he is on fire for God, desperate for God. Congressman Michael Cloud and many others. I mean, it's amazing to see a little group of members in the House really starting revival, frankly.
Yeah, I've been very inspired to see that as well. There's a lot more faith activity going on the Hill than people realize. Let's show a graphic of the book. We've got a little picture of it here, Jesus and Politics. Tell us more about the book specifically, Bunny. What kind of things do you go through in those chapters?
Well, it's not a boring book. It's not a how to do politics book. It's really sharing crazy stories from my life. Like I ran for Congress in 2018 and it was $1.3 million on each side of our runoff. I was running against now Congressman Lance Gooden. At the time, he was the fourth most liberal Republican in the Texas House and I couldn't live with him winning my boss's seat. So I jumped in. But we had a very contentious race. It was one of the most high profile races in Texas in that year. And at the end of the race, a year later, I was still not over it. I was still angry and I was praying for him and his wife and their kids all the time, saying, God, root this anger out of my heart. And he had his consultants had floated all his invoices for the runoff. So what that means is he never had to pay for the runoff, all of his TV, mail, all of that. So I outraised him by $300,000 and I still lost by 2,700 votes out of 43,000 votes. And so a year after that race, the Lord told me the only way you're going to get over this is to do something drastic, a step of obedience. And so I said, you know what? I need to pay off that last $50,000 of his debt. So I took off work. I was working for another member at that time and I took off a couple weeks worth of work and I called donors that had not supported him yet. And we had a big party and we celebrated him and I paid off that debt. And what happened was that God set me free. He set me free from the offenses, the bitterness and unforgiveness. And Congressman Lance Gooden and I are very close. I just saw him yesterday. We did a podcast together that's going to air about 6 months from now in a series on campaigning. But, you know, God is so faithful. And I share miracles of how I was the only person in the country endorsed by Vice President Mike Pence in the 2018 primary. And it's because I prayed for him and Karen for years. And we built a relationship around being missionaries to America. Mm-hmm. I share a divine encounter I had after a dream with Congressman Beto O'Rourke, someone who was not from my party, someone, you know, that God had me start praying for. And 3 months later, I'm standing in front of him, living the dream that I just had, encouraging him, praying for him. And frankly, God literally changed my life in that moment because I started seeing people not as enemies, but as people that God loved, that he wanted to impact their hearts and lives, right?
Right.
So my hope with the book, Frank, is that number one, Christians that are not involved right now, if you're one of those people, you're like, I don't know. I hope that you can read this book, hear some amazing stories of Christians walking in government and politics, and get a vision that God wants to use you in some way on a local level, in your kids' school, whatever that is. But also those who are involved politics and government, like us, Frank, that are in the trenches every day, whether we're candidates, elected officials, activists, that we realize we have to watch our souls and our hearts, and we have to be real Christ followers as we engage. And so my hope is, you know, some of the angry Christians out there that need a little bit more Jesus love touching their hearts touches them in this book, and that we realize, you know, we can be bold and courageous and also love God and love others at the same time.
Is there a website that you'd like people to go to about the book?
Yeah, just go to ChristiansEngaged.org. That's the name of our ministry, ChristiansEngaged.org. And you can see the book in our store. Or if you're an Amazon shopper, just stick it in your cart right now. Just go type in my name, Bunny Pounds, Bunny with an I, and Jesus in Politics, and get it from Amazon or ChristianBook.com or Barnes & Noble. Everybody has it. So
I'm confident that a lot of our audience watching now are going to get this book, because that's the kind of audience we have here for this program. Christians, patriots, people who are burning with a desire to do more for the country, and who are also burning to see the churches more involved in this. Along those lines, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you if you have the same experience I do in these days going around speaking to the grassroots. I've never heard more of our fellow citizens say something similar to the following as I do now. They say, you know, there's all these battles in our country, political battles, culture wars, et cetera. This is, never have I before understood so clearly as I do now. This is simply a battle between good and evil. We know we have two major political parties that are could not possibly be more at odds. We've got the left, we've got the right, but this is just pure good versus evil. You hear more and more people saying that?
There are things happening in our world that you can't explain any other way. I mean, number one, we've got major battles. Of course, we got the Israel issue, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Israel's getting attacked. There's like this anti-Semitism that's springing up in the earth that, it's pure evil, right? I mean, how can you see? It's like the book of Esther being lived out in our world right now.
Yes.
There's just weird things happening, like, that you were like, how is this even in the news? If you follow Babylon Bee, you know, they make these satire things, and then you see, oh, that's the real world. That's really happening, right?
Yeah.
So there's nowhere, you know, Christians see through that. Yes. Again, we don't want to demonize people. God loves people. We talk about in Christians Engage, take on the issue, debate the issue, but don't kill the person.
Because ultimately,
God loves the person you're debating. He loves your family member that doesn't agree with you politically, that might be pro-choice and you're pro-life. He's after their heart. So continue to build bridges, continue to communicate with salt. But we have to be praying desperately, Pastor Frank. I mean, I talk about this a lot. I have a whole chapter in my book called Teach Us to Pray. God wants us to really talk to him about what's happening instead of just watching Fox News and yelling at the TV. What if we took that burden and said, God, what do you think about the crisis at the border? What do you think about what's happening in the states after Roe has been overturned? What do you think about our politicians disappointing us with their stands on the life issue? What do you think? And what we're going to find is when we listen to him, we're going to be solid worshipers, intercessors, prayer people who can communicate and agree with Jesus what he cares about. And that actually gives us hope for the future in the midst of dark spiritual warfare. And we'll see his perspective on all of it. And at the end of the day, we're crying out, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Jesus to come back. But until he comes, we tarry and we war and we have battles. and we're like the Gideon 300, you know what? Keep seeing how God wants to bring victory, even when there looks like there's no way. That's who we are.
Well, this is great. As you said, as you just said, we have to pray. And I want to invite you here in a moment, if you would, lead our audience in a prayer, and then I'll conclude with the Lord's Prayer. But friends, she is Bunny Pounds. If I may, you are like an Energizer Bunny. I'm sure many people tag you with that nickname, but Energizer Bunny. Thank you for your energy for this great mission. The group is Christians Engaged, brothers and sisters, ChristiansEngaged.org. You can see the website. And there, order her book, Jesus and Politics. This is a message so pertinent for right now, this moment in America and in the world. So needed. Bunny, we will continue working together. I'm sure I'll see you soon at some conference or other somewhere across this great land. But now for our audience, would you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Well, Lord, we thank you for this moment where we get to cry out for America, God. And we just submit our hearts and lives and say, use us. Use us. Take our little bit. Take our weak prayers. Take our weak energy. Take us the things we don't even know what to do, God. Sometimes the problems look so deep. We don't know how to pray, but teach us to pray. Teach us to depend on you. Teach us to get involved. And I believe there's people watching us right now that are leaders, that God's calling them out to do more, to step out in faith and do things that are uncomfortable. And Lord, I thank you for empowering them by your Holy Spirit. Help us to stand up for the unborn, God. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us not to be discouraged in this moment, but God, to keep pressing on. And Lord, I thank you for blessing Father Frank and all of his team, God, in this incredible work. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And friends, now let us sum up all our prayers and praises by offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Bunny, thank you so much. We will see you soon. And thank you all, brothers and sisters, for joining us once again for Praying for America. We will talk to you soon.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.